If you think all car washes are made equally, you're in for a surprise when you experience the Caliber car wash difference. Free detailing stations, air guns, ultra UV protection, and the best washes on the market? Welcome to Caliber Car Wash. Make up for years of subpar washes. Caliber Car Wash memberships offer unlimited washes every month, and with membership tiers, there are options for every budget and wash preference. Are you ready to finally have the clean you've always wanted? Head to CaliberCarWash.com to find a location near you. It's time to experience the next level of car service with a limitless membership.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Oh my gosh. All right. So here's the headline. Florida man dressed as Ronald McDonald wrestled to the ground by cops, saying, quote, "I am a clown, stupid." Is that his actual mugshot?
I think so.
The guy, so he's a white dude with dreadlocks. You know how I feel about that. And he's got real messed up teeth. Okay. No, not teeth at that point. They're teeth. Yeah. When it's the color of honey, you got teeth. So the story is, body cam footage has a Florida man being busted while dressed as Ronald McDonald in a scuffle. Oh my gosh, he's 40.
What?
Christopher Marlowe. This guy's he's 40. Oh, wow. 40. Dude, he looks like Jeff Lebowski. He's 40. He was dressed as the McDonald's character, bright yellow, red, white costume, big nose. He was trespassing at a shopping center. Palm Bay police were called, and they had to wrestle him to the ground. And he was told by one of the arresting officers, "You look like a clown." And he yelled back, "No, redacted. I am a clown, stupid." And yeah, they were cited for trespass at the shopping plaza once, this guy. And he went back and then he got in trouble again. So he was taken into
custody. That's a hard 40. You sure it didn't say he's in his late 40s?
No, dude, it said he's 40. I know, right? I'm like, man. What? Can we talk about a dude who, I saw this, I think it was Vegas Larry that sent this to me. The man wrangling an out, brand new, this is a new one. I think we've seen this guy before, a barefoot alligator wrestler. So he was there to go and get this gator off the road. And it was on Sunday. It was a giant alligator. Dude was barefoot. I think he was in camo shorts and barefoot. And he was... He wrestled that gator in true Florida man style and got it off the highway, barefoot.
Each community on earth, if you take that away and try to distill us just down to white folks, we'll be like Europe, an aging, slowly dying former empire. The Roman Empire didn't survive because it didn't have enough strength in its diversity. It suppressed its diversity and it died. If the U.S. wants to be the Roman Empire, keep voting the way you're voting, y'all.
That's one of the most, not only is she a racist, but she is an absolute bimbo too. That's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. It's completely historically illiterate. And it's embarrassing that she felt that that was a okay thing to say and then put it out online. Ignoring the racial part of it, I think I'm more offended by the stupidity of what she just said than I am the racism that is within it. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. That's Joy Reid, who clearly, Harvard is meaningless. That's the kind of brain trust that Harvard produces. You have her and then you have, what's his face? That pig kid, David Hogg. Those two are products of Harvard. Some of the dumbest people I've ever seen. So first, welcome back. If you're joining us by listening terrestrially or if you're watching the stream, channel 3047 DirecTV, the chat's at Rumble. You can also find us at X and Facebook. So I love history. I am a major history buff. And one of my favorite things is reading about ancient empires and love reading about ancient Rome. And I watched, yes, I did watch the Hillsdale thing, The Rise and Fall of Rome. I've also been watching, I actually watched a thing last night that was about the construction of Roman roads and how all roads literally did lead to Rome. But more so to her point, she's saying that the U.S. isn't diverse enough and that's what is, and that a lack of diversity is what killed Rome. That is a historical nonsense. And here's why. In fact, it was too much. I don't mean that in the racial sense, because it comes down with having a shared identity. This is one of the ways that America learned from Rome's mistake, and our founders learned from Rome's mistake, because at some point there was admittance of, I mean, everybody got Roman citizenship. Everybody had Roman citizenship. And I don't know if people realize that the Roman emperor at the time, Caracalla, was the one who he, you know, that's the sacking happened on his watch. But every free person in the empire got citizenship. And previous emperors also did that. And at first it was looked at like it was Rome's strength because they would conquer and then incorporate. And that was really different in those times. They didn't just leave something conquered, and they didn't force them to adopt every single thing that they did within Rome, but they did incorporate it. They incorporated it namely so that they could say, okay, you're a conquered. You have to now give us X amount of foot soldiers. It's one of the reasons why they had the biggest armies, is because that was part of that incorporation. But there was never any diligence in creating that singular identity. Everyone talks about a Roman identity, but when we look in history, it was kind of all over the place. I mean, people wanted to consider themselves Roman, but there has to be a shared loyalty, a shared identity. And that was just one of the things. And that's like one part of it that went into it, is that, you know, there was citizenship given to every single person. The overspending was crazy. The amount of spending was just, even on Caesar's time and before, was entirely irresponsible. And then you had a lot of instability because there was a lot of corruption. There was a lot of intrigue. And the other thing, too, was you were losing a lot of traditional values. And, you know, the Eastern Empire was already starting its rise. And then you had the barbarians, and you had the Goths, and you had, no, not like the Cure Goths, but like, you know, the Visigoths. You had the Goths, and then you had the Huns that were all coming in. So there were a lot of things that factored into it. But I think one of the biggest was this strain on, or an absence, a strain caused by the absence of a shared identity is one of the things that played into it. And the idea of being a Roman and what that meant and being a member of that empire was diluted as a result of that. In the United States, it's one of the things that our founders did differently. They didn't make a shared identity on a race or a religion or anything else, but it was about that animating spirit of liberty. So they, if you want to be free, then we are kinsmen. And that's how the founders set this up. And in the Roman Empire, they didn't even do that. They're just like, okay, you're here, you get a Roman citizenship, you get a Roman citizenship. And the absence of a shared value led to an absence of cohesion. It led to instability. It led to a complete dearth of cultural values, the whole nine yards. And there was so much internal fighting as a result of that. Rome, by the time the Goths came in and sacked it, Rome had already sacked itself. That was just the straw that broke the proverbial camel's back. So what, everything that she's saying, it's literally actually the opposite of that created that the fall of Rome. Now, in the United States, this is where this communist, cultural warfare comes in. You know, the critical race theory. Everybody says DEI. DEI is an offshoot of critical race theory, CRT, which is the Frankfurt School of Marxism, right? It is an absolute Marxist theory. And I wrote about this 15 years ago when Andrew Breitbart was still alive and I was working with Andrew Breitbart. Derek Bell, who is a prominent academic, and he was at Harvard. He was kind of a mentor to Barack Obama. And I remember at the time we had this video of Barack Obama hugging Derek Bell. And I thought it was pretty significant. The media tried to, you know, bury it and act like it wasn't a significant thing. But we were like, there's an introduction of a new tactic here. It's critical race theory. It's been exploding on college campuses since the 60s. And here's how it's affecting you now. All of this stuff that you see now with DEI and wokery all came from that. Every bit of it. It all came from CRT. And it started on American college campuses in the 60s. Derrick Bell was a huge proponent of it. And that gets into that. That was a tactic to identify, isolate, and destroy those shared cultural values by turning everyone against each other based on intersectionality. So that's where all that comes in. Oh, if you have two women, if one woman's a black woman and a white woman, well, she has one more intersectional box to check than the white woman. So now she has more power. Ah, but if this chick is gay, then they may equal out then. But if one of them's trans, then you see what I mean? It's like a constant one-uppance. So instead of focusing on shared cultural values and that shared identity that's based on liberty, you're now weaponizing all of these other variables to destroy that. It's an ingenious way to go after the thing that really did separate us from the Roman Empire, was that singular shared identity. We had something around which we could rally and be loyal. And that was, we are free to be free. And this is where you come to do it at. That's why you can be from anywhere and you can be a kinsman in freedom. And so that's why what Joy Reid just said there is so incredibly embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for her. Can you imagine making a video and showing your ass like that? With how stupid you are. I mean, there's no excuse. She's like a 50-something-year-old woman. There's no excuse for you to have the money that you have, be on television and have the internet, and then not understand the basic concepts of history like this. I mean, that's truly something. But that's the thing. And you know what? When you are removing the recognition of that shared cultural value that is your identity, because when you think about, what does it mean to be an American? At its most just distilled core, what does it mean to be an American? Free. Freedom. I think that's what ultimately everyone would come down to, yeah? Freedom. So that is the American identity. Well, when you start weaponizing all of these other things around it and attacking it, destroying it, doing this reinventing the Mao cultural revolution with going after and attacking our history like they did with our founders. Oh, our founders were imperfect. Thus, everything that they have done is imperfect. Well, that's illogical on its face, because all you got to do is read the Bible. I mean, David was imperfect. He came from one of the most imperfect lines in all of mandom. I mean, David, who sent Uriah to be killed so he could get Uriah's wife. David. And from him came the Messiah. So that completely blunts that argument, but they don't care. They want you to be separated from God, so you don't understand that. And they also want you to turn on your fellow man and ignore that animating spirit of liberty, so that we can destroy the social cohesion and obscure the identity of what it means to be American. Now, Rome did that to itself, because they were allowing every Tom, Dick, and Harry and giving everybody citizenship with just completely unfettered immigration. Not even just immigration. It wasn't people even coming to Rome. Rome would go elsewhere and they would conquer a land. Oh, you're Romans now. Here's your citizenship. You're incorporated. The incorporation was smart, but everything that happened afterwards was not. So there's the, she doesn't even understand. She doesn't even understand the warning cry of the fall of the Roman Empire and what that means or what it looks like in current times, because she's just focused on the racial aspect of it. Immigration is a variable, and racists like her don't understand that. And I'll say it again, immigration is a variable, because the identity, once again, is about being free. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. It doesn't matter what your religion is. Do you want to be free? And we are founded on Christian values, but we're singular in that we do not demand that you worship as we worship, or do what we do in order to accept the perks of freedom, for the lack of a better way to put it. I mean, it's just one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. I'm like, golly, has she ever read a book? I don't know. But it's just truly stunning to me. But I had to talk about that. I had to talk about that. Gold prices have surged over 40% since January 2024, consistently reaching new highs. According to Goldman Sachs research, the upward trend is expected to persist due to strong demand from central banks. It's stuff like this that's made me take action and why I've bought precious metals like gold and silver. I've partnered with a great company that makes it super easy to buy easy, transparent, and simple. And that company is Gold Co. They're a huge supporter of this show, and they're the best at what they do. And right now, you can get a free 2025 Gold and Silver Kit jam-packed with critical information about buying precious metals. It was a huge help, not just for me, but to all of you if you do this. And for my audience, you could also qualify for up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver. It's a really great deal, so don't miss out. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh, so now they're trying to tell you that these federal cuts to weather organizations like the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Oh my gosh, it's going to negatively impact climate. Sir, I don't care about climate change. I don't care about climate change so bad. I actually care more about Nickelback than I care about climate change. It is a stupid theory of brain dead zombies who are lazy and don't want to get off their fat, slovenly asses. And so they're trying to scare you about the planet melting so that you give up some of your money and shoot it to the sun, which is in no more scientifically advanced than back in the day when people tossed virgins in volcanoes to make the fire gods happy. So tick off with all that stuff. I'm so done. Blah. If I was president, I would round up the climate change people. Oh, yeah. You don't want me. I'm Gladrail with the one ring. Not going to happen. I don't even care about this headline. I want to take that headline, print it out, and shoot some buckshot through it. All right, done. 6 hours a day of sedentary behavior is linked to neck pain. You know what else is linked to neck pain? Climate change. So sedentary behavior, what does that mean? They said 6 hours of sedentary behavior a day is linked to neck pain. Stupid stories like this are linked to head pain. That's my other headline that's coming out. I don't know if you guys saw it. I don't know. This is like, duh. They spent money on this? Were they laundering money? That's the only thing I can think of.
Predictable.
There's a jet that just fell off an aircraft carrier. Was there a cat on board? Like, what happened? Did a giant cat knock it off into the sea? A U.S. Navy FA-18 Super Hornet fighter jet literally fell overboard. The USS Harry S. Truman. I'm not going to ask if it was a woman driver. It was me. U.S. officials said that they indicated Truman made a hard right turn to evade Houthi fire. So there's a lot of stuff happening. So it wasn't because, you know, people were just kicking around. I mean, the Houthis were trying to kill them, okay? And they made a hard right turn. The jet fell off. Stay with us. Can't do it without our partners. And of course, that's Kel-Tec. They've raised the bar again. The new third-gen sub 2K folds fast. Optics stay in place, and it deploys just as quickly. Zeroed and ready. And the innovation, it's with a twist. It's a 10 millimeter. Now, I heard about this when we were in Virginia, WRVA. I wasn't allowed to say anything because they'd probably find me and, you know, drag me out of my house and make me shoot like a subpar firearm as punishment. But no, amazing. This is the third gen. It's a fold, and you fold the whole carbine. You fold it all up. It's like gun origami, and it's available in a variety of calibers. Now with new 10 millimeter chambering, single twist and fold motion of the rotating fore-end, so it folds super fast in half, optics and all, and deploys super fast as easily. Folds down to 16.5 inches for easy storage and transport. Standard 15 round Glock 20 mag, it takes Glock mags, offers ample capacity. Internal buffer for softer recoil, 5 pound trigger pull. I mean, it's amazing. Make sure you check it out. Kel-Tec makes everything right here in the US of A. K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Innovation performance, Kel-Tec, kel-tecweapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you. On the Amazon thing, we were talking about how Amazon, it was reported where, and it was Punch Bowl News that said this, and I read this morning over it. I saw this at Punch Bowl this morning. They were saying that Amazon is going to display the tariff cost for consumers. Where do they get their sourcing? Because Amazon is now denying this report. Let me pull this up. This is over at USA Today. Now Amazon is saying, no, Punch Bowl News, that's not right. They said that Punch Bowl cited an unnamed source that they're going to have these the increase in prices caused by tariffs next to the products, and it was even underscored by Caroline Leavitt, who said that she got off the phone with the president of Amazon, and she said it was a hostile and political act by Amazon. But then the spokesperson of Amazon said, that's not true. So what is it? Amazon's trying to, I guess, clarify
I was under the impression when I saw that conference this morning, the presser, that when she said she got off the phone with the president, she was referring to Trump, and that they were responding to that rumor. I didn't get that apparently she got off the phone with Bezos. Or,
well, I don't think she was, because he's not even yeah, in charge of Amazon anymore.
But I mean, my impression was that she talked to President Trump about it.
Let's pause all here for a moment. I would like to think that it, you know, if you're a business, you wouldn't be responded to so publicly if you knew, or if it was known that you weren't doing this and it was unconfirmed. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Which is why I think she had the talk with President Trump as opposed to anyone from
Amazon.
But
then they said, but she said that it was a hostile and political act. So which I don't necessarily agree with, but I do think, is it disingenuous if they were going to do it, if they didn't do it for inflation? Yeah, but it's also stupidly disingenuous to not accurately note, like, okay, this is legit made in China and this isn't. So apparently, I guess POTUS called Bezos, although he's not really involved in Amazon anymore, because didn't he sell basically the daily operations of that? I can't remember. But he did. He's like removed from that. But apparently, and that's why it's so weird that they would. That's why I don't think that it's a political act, because they donated $1 million. Now, granted, you can make it a tax write off, I think, to some extent. However, it's structured to an extent, and for the inaugural party, and he was there. They were there a couple of different times. He was at Mar-a-Lago. I mean, that's definitely not the. I don't think that that's the association, the level of association you would see if someone's going to do something like this later. I don't know. But the Amazon spokesperson said the move wasn't considered for the main Amazon site, but for Amazon Hall. And then they sent CNN a statement. This was less than an hour ago, saying that it was not approved and not going to happen. So, wait, can I just pause? What the hell is Amazon Hall? What is that? Steve, do you know what Amazon Hall is?
Is it H-A-U-L?
Yeah, H-A-U-L.
No.
So Amazon Hall, I have no idea what, I've never even heard of this. Is it like Amazon, but more nerd? I don't know. What is it? We don't know.
Larger items from Amazon that require hauling? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it like wholesale? Maybe it's like wholesale stuff. I feel like I need to be a better consumer at this point to know about it, right? I'm like, how do I not know about this?
Well, what I'm seeing here is this the regular hyperbole that we see from the media? Let's say there was a rumor that got to the Trump administration that said Amazon's considering doing these tariff numbers by their items. And then Trump's like, well, I'm going to get on the phone with Bezos and find out if this is true or not.
Yeah.
And so Trump calls. And all this, the reporting is Trump is... You know, he actually is complaining to Bezos. They're just, the hyperbole from the media is what I think is muddying this thing up.
It is. And I think some of the hyperbole, although, I mean, so if they're saying that it was supposed to be for, that it was being considered for Amazon Hall and not Amazon, and they said it was never approved and not going to happen. So.
And let's consider the fact that this was a unnamed source that got all of this started. How have we seen something like that before, where an unnamed source starts this big media frenzy and it turns out to be nothing?
Here's Amazon Hall. I asked AI.
Oh, well, here we go.
Amazon Hall is a new shopping experience on the Amazon app and website that focuses on budget-friendly products, primarily items reduced at $20 or less. So it's the
cheap stuff.
Cheap Chinese stuff. Just call it the CCS. Cheap Chinese stuff. That's what it is. All right. So, okay. I didn't know what that was. I didn't know it was a whole thing. Oh, interesting. I mean, how is that different from Amazon? Inquiring minds want to know. I don't know. How is it different?
Ooh. And just so you know, it's not that we impose this big tariff on China. It's always been China's giant tariff on us. The reciprocal nature of Trump's policies are what is the issue. So China's next move, which, by the way, they cannot sustain what they're doing right now, is to come back to the table and negotiate a fair tariff or eliminate it completely.
You know what's kind of funny, though? Because in all of the debates between the right and left that I've seen on this, you know, people are like, well, why didn't they do this with Biden's inflation? Why didn't they? Can we just admit that both of these things increase prices? The media is accidentally having to admit.
Yeah, but one is a tool.
Like, we've always said, look, the tariff thing is going to be tough. It's a tactic to equalize the playing field. That's not what's being debated. I mean, you're going to have to take a tough move like that. And I'm not, I wanted tax cuts to come first. That's my big thing. But no, but what I said, this is going to hurt for a little bit.
So do you want the
people
permanent...
People don't have the spine for it.
Do you want the permanent pain of Biden policies or do you want the temporary pain of the Trump policies?
No, but my point is the media is actually having to admit that Biden's inflation raised prices.
Yeah. And we're seeing already inflation year over year is down significantly.
These people are clowns. Oh my gosh. Sometimes when I sit here and try to understand and process, like I'm, like Democrats were arguing, it's weird how they argue things from a certain perspective because I feel like they, in order to score a win on someone that they think is a politically ideological opponent, they are admitting something that they were denying forever as a get. Yes. Does it feel like you're refereeing drunk people?
Yes.
When I talk, I feel like I'm refereeing a drunk person. Like I'm babysitting a drunk. That's what it feels like. Whenever I'm trying to dive in and understand what the hell you people on the left are talking about, it's like I'm the sober friend at the social get-together and I'm babysitting a room full of drunks, which is chaos. It's just what it's like. It's this, yeah, it's, whoo, boy.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.